your mind. When I heard that song, what popped out in my mind was a lot of things, because I believe that the author of that song heard that prophetically. He was just at his piano one day, and that was a song that God gave him out of his heart. But when I heard the word, "My past is behind me," that just stuck out in my message this morning. So how many are glad to say this morning that, uh-oh, I got the wrong notes in front of me. Hang on. I shut my thing. Hang on. That was yesterday's notes. I was going to say, what the heck? How many of you love fresh starts? Amen? I'm a woman that wakes up every day, and I am one of those blessed creatures of habits of just seeing the glass half full. I have bad days, but my MO really is I like to start the day out fresh. And, you know, I love, because we're into the new year, so I say that a lot, that we should have a happy new year. And in God, we can make everything happy. Isn't that exciting? But I love the fresh starts, and I love the new year, so I say that a lot, that we should have a happy new year. And in God, we can make everything happy. Isn't that exciting? But I love the fresh starts, and I love to wake up in the morning with a mental change. Say mental change. Do you believe, like I do, according to the Word of God, that everything starts in the mind? Everything that we hold so true to our heart this morning starts with a seed of our thought. It can be a negative thought that can grow, or it can be a positive thought that can grow. But I know the Bible says this morning, and I want to encourage you, whether you believe it or not today, no matter what your situation is, that right now, as a believer, you are sitting at heavenly places with God. You're sitting right next to Him today. He loves you so much that you're not out of sight. You're certainly not out of mind. But I know, like myself, a lot of times when we're in the battle or in the heat of something, honestly, we feel that our God is so far away from us. And our prayers sometimes feel like they're just at the top of the ceiling. But the truth is that God never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always with us, and I love Him. And also, you know, the Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. I know you don't feel like this when you got in your fight with your husband or your wife on the way here, maybe, or the kids, or something happened, that you feel like you don't have the mind of Christ. But the truth is, you do have the mind of Christ. If you're a believer today and you've accepted Christ, you have the mind of Christ. And I love that. My title this morning is called Faith, the Victory That Overcomes the World. And I love that. The Bible says that old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I've never been challenged to look at that word, but I actually got online this morning and I looked up the word old. And here's what it says in the dictionary. Old means this: former, past. I like this one: deep-rooted, one time. The old things in our life that needs to be passed away today is all the former things and the past-rooted things. In life, I'll tell you something, the good hardly ever deposits a strong root that it needs to. Because we fashion our thoughts so much on the past of negative things. It's the negative things that are in life that take a deep root. And they go so deep, it's like an oak tree. But we need to reverse the process. What we need to do in life is let the good things of life take nourishment and go deep into the roots of the ground. And let also the roots of negativity, which they will come. Little roots do happen, but let them be more like the trees back home. They're called the weeping willow trees. They grow fast. They grow huge, and to look at them, they look mighty. But if a wind comes, they're going to be blown down very easily. And that should be the negative. That should be the negative part of our life. Let God begin to blow out the negative things of our life. Amen. Rather than this new year hanging on to the former things and the negative things and all the things that want to challenge us in the wrong direction, God wants us to reach, like Paul says, I'm reaching towards the future. I want to look towards the good things that are ahead. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I love that. The reason being is it's always exciting to leave the old behind. Just think this morning as we sat here. Like myself, some of the things of my past failures, I want to leave them behind. How about you? All the mistakes that I've made. You know, sometimes people think because we're pastors that we don't make mistakes in life. But we do all the time. We make negative mistakes, but you know what we do? We just let that fall off like water off of a duck's back. And we move towards the future, because as long as we're in this body, as long as we don't have nail prints in our hand, we're going to make mistakes. So don't be condemned by the devil. Amen? Don't let the devil condemn you and keep you from growing ahead in the things that God has for your future. And I love that. We can make new commitments in our future. I love goals, because goal setting is good. You know, if we don't have goals, we just tend to do the same things over and over again. But if we have an ABC chart in front of us, honestly, it keeps, especially with my personality, like I said earlier in this message, you know, my personality is to see the glass half full. But that personality is very challenging, because I wake up a lot of times with, well, what am I going to do today? I'm not much of a goal setter. I just wake up with, that's my personality for today. Bishop, on the other hand, he has big goals ahead of him. He has a whole chart of the year, and that's not my personality. I feel like I play catch up a lot. But I'm learning this year. I'm going to change the way I used to think of last year, and I'm going to be more goal-oriented. I want to challenge you this new year season to be more goal-challenged. That way you're going to get through with A and go on to B and C in your life. Can you say amen? If you know, you're going to have to do that. Of course, I've said this before, but let me quote it again. If you do what you've always done, you'll have what you always had. The key is to be willing to do whatever it takes to have what you want. You know, in 08, there's so many things that we've wanted, but we've never pressed in to get it. We've just kind of slid by in certain things, and sometimes God pushes us to go forward, you know, in more pertinent things. But there's desires in your heart. And there's things that you want personally in your life that's not always a spiritual thing, which also we should always seek the kingdom of God first. I don't mean that. But there's things and goals and desires that you want, that you put off year after year after year. God's saying this is the year to get the fulfillment. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And I love that place, because, you know, when I think about overcoming the world, that sounds so big and huge. But the truth of the matter is, if God was to open up each of our eyes this morning, listen to me, the real world is the pretend world. The spiritual world is so huge and big. If God was to open up our eyes this morning, we would see angelic beings. We would see what the real world is all about, because the spiritual world is the real world. The conflicts that we have in what we go through on a day-to-day basis, them are not the real things of our life. The real things are the spiritual things. So when I think of whatever is born of God, if you're saved today, you're born of God to overcome the challenges that's before us. Because when we make a determination, listen to me, when we make a determination of purpose in our heart that I'm going to look at the obstacles in my way is easily to be beneath my feet, because that's not the real world. That's not the real situation. You know, we have an enemy that comes against us. You know, we live in this world. But I'll tell you something, every day's affliction is we take so lightly, well, it's our boss, or it's our marriage, or it's our finance, or it's our children. Every sorrow that we have, every affliction that comes our way, we look at it as just the natural realm. But the truth of them to keep us where we're at, so we can't move out into the joy of the Lord. Because, you know, the Bible tells us, amen, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if He can rob us today of that joy and moving forward and letting the old things pass away and behold all things become new, then you know what? He will do it. That's His biggest conquest, is to bring deception into our life. Amen? But here's the deal. This word victory in the Greek word, you know what it means? Nike, like the shoe. He stole it. Somebody knew that. Listen to this. Victory in the Greek means Nike. In Greek mythology, Nike was the goddess of victory. Nike means to conquer, to overcome, and to get the victory. I'm going to wear more Nike products. How about you? I want to remind myself that I'm an overcomer, that I'm a conqueror. You know, that my God is above everything. His name is above everything you're going through today. His name is above your financial dilemma. His name is above your health situation. It's above your marriage situation. It's above your children. The name of Jesus is above every name. Think about that. That when you're challenged this year of 09, you've got to remember you have Nike kind of faith. Isn't that exciting when you think about that? Here's another one. I love this quote. Michael Jordan, I think most of us know who that is. Michael Jordan says this, I play to win. You're in the game of life. Are you playing to win? Think about it. You're in this life anyway. If you don't play to win, you're just fighting your shadow. Think about that. But Michael Jordan said, I play to win. The day I stop improving is the day I walk away from the game. But watch this, but not without effort. Watch this. He threw 300 baskets a day, and that's why he was victorious. You want victory in your life today? I do. But you know, it's not going to come without fighting the good fight of faith. It's not going to come by me using this little situation of throwing 300 baskets a day. You know, we want what others have, don't we? We see people have victory. We say, I wish I could be a soldier in the army of the Lord like that and have those victories. But you know what? That soldier of the Lord has to do something. When you're in boot camp, why do you think people go to boot camp? They go to boot camp because they have to change their way of thinking and doing things. They have to bring structure into their life. When you go to boot camp for whatever weeks it is, I'm not for sure, you go there because you're going to learn the discipline that you never had in your life. Well, when you get saved, you have to have that kind of conquering faith. You have to have discipline in your life. If you want things to change, you got to make that happen. You know, I think about, I wrote this down this morning about Tiger Woods, greatest golfer that there is. And people say, well, look at that young Tiger Woods go. But you know what people don't see behind the scenes? Is Tiger Woods is the best at what he does is because he gets up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. He goes to the grounds when nobody else is there. He puts a spotlight on and he goes out there whether it's raining. He wants to have the winds of adversity at him. You see, he don't want to be challenged on the courts in Scottsdale, Arizona and just show up on a sunny day when the wind is right. He wants to go out there and he wants to win the battle. So he goes out there when it's raining, when the winds are blowing, and he wants to measure everything, his success, by what he does in the winds of adversity. If we want change this year, we're going to have to go to battle. And how do we go to battle? The battle's been won. Think about this. You don't have to battle physically. You don't have to get up necessarily at 3 o'clock in the morning and go out and do it physically. The battle's been won. Jesus says, I won the battle. Our battle is, our victory comes through our tongue. Through what we speak. Are we talking the Word of God? Are we believing the Word of God? Do you know you woke up this morning sitting in the places of heavenly places? You're sitting in the highest place of rank that you ever could. You just don't realize it. Do you wake up in the morning and say, I have that Nike kind of faith, whether I feel it or not? I don't feel it every day. I don't wake up every day and say, hoo-hoo, I got that Nike kind of faith. But you know what I do? I open up my mouth and I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice in it today. I choose. And then I get into my Word. And I want to know, hey, listen to me, every precious promise to you is in there. Are you taking it out? Because that's where your dynamite lies. When you take the precious Word of God in faith, and you light that fuse, and you begin to do battle with the Word of God, and you speak the victory promises, and know that they're alive and they're conquering in your life, that's where you're going to see things get done. But when you fight the battle with the arm of the flesh, you're going to be doing the same thing you always done. And in a year from now, you're going to be the same person. And 2 years, you're going to be the same person. And God still loves you. And you're still going to go to heaven, but you're going to have a miserable existence because you haven't had the Nike kind of faith that God wants you to have. The big idea in 2009 is we're going to be more conquerors in the storm. You need to learn to encounter storms. But Jesus has the key to experiencing victory, to overcome the world. And I said that earlier. Say it's by faith. I looked up that word key and it means just this. Solutions. Answers. Explanations, means, secret, source. And I like this. It's a recipe. God's Word is a recipe. And the great news about God is He gives us the recipe to make the most amazing things possible in our life. He doesn't omit one thing. As bakers, you all know, women in this ministry, men that like to cook, if you omit a certain product out of a cake, especially a major ingredient, that cake is not going to be what it's supposed to be. But the key to the recipe, God gives us every answer. You are not sitting here this morning vulnerable to the things of the world. You're not sitting here vulnerable to the winds and to the storm. God has given you a key. He's given you the solutions. He's given you the recipe. He's given you the resources. Everything we need today is in the Word of God. Isn't that exciting? You know, the faith. Jesus says in Mark 4:35, says this, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. I want to pause there for just a moment, because you know what God's challenging us in this morning, brothers and sisters, is he wants to see us go to the other side. Now watch this. What did he say? On the same day, he said to them, let us cross over. You see, he knew you can't stay where you've always stayed. But you've got to be willing to cross over. Did that mean that the storm's not going to be there? Say no. But he said, you got to cross over. I love that. Now watch out as we finish this. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as it was. And the other little boats were with him, and there was a great windstorm that came. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling with water. But the Bible says that the Word of God was asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and they said, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Just think, they were in the boat with Jesus Christ. You know, that's hard to comprehend in my mind. They were with the one that they saw do signs, wonders, and miracles. But yet, because they didn't have the revelation of who he was, they continued to battle in the things of the flesh. He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Don't you think that would be the saddest thing to stand before God and say, Gloria, why, where is your faith? Didn't you trust me? You trusted me to go from the other side. You gave your life to me in 1974, and you don't wake up crying every day. You're not there, you're not there. You know you're going to go to heaven with me. Why do you battle me so hard on the day-to-day task? Don't you have faith? I don't want to stand before Jesus. Now, do I fall short in faith in times of my life? Just like you. Today it may happen. The battle may come, and I may fall short. It's not the matter of us not falling short. It's a matter of what we do with it once we come to our senses. Even the prodigal son says, when he came to his senses, he got out of the pigsty. You know what I mean? Don't we just lose our way sometimes? Not to be condemned, but it's to get back up. Say amen. And the Bible continues to say, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be? Cracks me up. Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who could this be? Listen, we laugh and we say that, but every time we don't walk in faith, every time we have the arm of the flesh in operation, we're saying, who can this be? We do the same thing, don't we? We all do. Note, first of all, the storms came as the disciples were following Jesus. This morning, as you and I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be tempted so many times, aren't we? When the storms are going to be coming and how we will react to that storm. But I want you to note this. As they were following Jesus in the boat, the storm came. Listen, just because you love the Lord and you're saved today and you gave your heart to Him and things are not going the way you want them to go, listen to me. That's a good sign. Listen, things are happening. When we're going through times of tribulations and trial, it can be a good thing too. Why? Because God wants to test our faith. Doesn't mean because we have opposition all the time that we're doing something wrong. It means that we're being tested. We see the storms will come. The Bible says the disciples were in the boat with Jesus, but they went through. And then the disciples said again, don't you care? And Jesus shocked them by his answer. What happened to your faith? Jesus is good. I want to give you this morning four truths about the storm. Number one, storms are inevitable. They're inevitable. John 16:33 says these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. But in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, that couldn't be any more plain. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. When Jesus overcame the world, tribulation, that was a part of it. Now He's given us the authority. He says He's given us all authority. Matter of fact, He says this. He's given us so much authority that He says we can step on the devil's neck. You and I have great authority today. The problem is we're not exercising it, or we don't know by a revelation what kind of authority that we have. Jesus says you're going to go through the storm. You're never going to, listen to me, you're not going to skirt tail around them. You can't leave today and say, well, today's the day of the Lord and I'm not going to go through a storm. We don't know what storms face ahead of us, but there's going to be storms, because the Bible says this, that it rains on the just and the unjust. The only good news today is with our Nike conquering kind of faith, we know that we have the power to overcome the tribulation. Why? Because He did, right? So if you're on the mountaintop today, good for you and good for me. But there's going to be a storm. And you know what that is? That's not negative kind of faith or negative talk. That's just the truth of the matter. Number two, storms are unpredictable. Now watch this in Matthew 8:23 and 24, it says this. Now when He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. And suddenly, say suddenly, suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, and the boat was covered with water. Sometimes storms will come into your life even when you're doing everything right. Don't be condemned today. Listen, don't be condemned because storms are coming. So just because you're a Christian, know you can go through the storm. Number three, storms are temporary. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, so be truly glad. So be truly glad. What are you facing today? What negative thing did you do in the arm of the flesh? Don't be condemned. The Bible says this, so be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. Now watch this. For our present troubles are quite small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us immeasurably great glory that will last forever. Every time a storm comes in your life and you don't battle it in a negative way and you see the glory of God, you know, we need to brag on Jesus. And when we don't give the faith that God's given us, and we don't take victory faith over our situations and our dilemma and stand on the Word of God, that steals our joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Think about it. The joy this morning is our strength. And if the devil can steal our strength, he's going to get everything. Now here's some good news. The Bible says that sorrow may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You have something to look forward to. You know, time is a wonderful thing, because time heals things. Heals brokenness, heals our past. If we let go of things, there's things that happen to us when the winds blow and the storms come. Things take time sometimes, don't they? But we don't have to dwell on it. But sometimes just the healing of the heart, it just takes days of time. So when you're in sorrow, maybe you've lost a loved one, or there are certain things that are imperative in life, and you're going to have to face, and I'm going to have to face if I live long enough. Sometimes it does take time to heal. But you know what? You can know this, that joy comes in the morning. Maybe you've suffered loss in a divorce. Maybe you've suffered loss on the job, or maybe a family member. You know, so many things happen that challenge us on the day-to-day cycle. But I'll tell you something. God says joy is going to come in the morning. I'm so excited about that, no matter what. Number four, storms are purposeful. These trials, the Bible tells us, are to test your faith, to show you that He is strong and He's pure. The Bible says it's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Your faith, the Bible says, is more precious to God than mere gold. It continues to say, so if your faith remains strong, okay, remain strong, say remain strong, after being tried by the fire trials, it will bring you much praise for the glory to our Lord. So while you're in your trial, while you're in your temptation, while you're in your testing time, listen to me. It's going to bring glory to God if you do what? If you do what? There's always an if-then situation. If you do what? If your faith remains strong. If you stay steadfast in God's Word, it's going to happen. Breaking news. God tests our faith through difficulties. Also that trials, problems, pressures, tough circumstances, all these stresses of life. Listen what 1 Peter 1, 6-7 says. Watch this. For a little while you have been led to suffer great kinds of trouble. For a little while. Then he says, these have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Do you think this brings praise, glory, and honor to God when our faith is tested and we wimp out? Say, well, it never works for me. I tried it. I've been there. I'd rather fight with the arm of the flesh. I'd rather think these thoughts. I'd rather just suffer for God. No, we don't have to do that. Watch this. That's a very powerful verse. Watch. It's a very powerful verse. Because when difficulties, the Bible said, come to your life, they will test your faith to prove your faith. Every single day we're going to be challenged to test our faith. I'm going to be tested today. Maybe 10 or 20 times. I don't know. It's going to happen. It's just the way it is. And I fall short on many of those testing trials. But you know what I'm learning? I'm learning to be a better overcomer. I'm letting God in me become bigger and stronger and letting me die to self. That Gloria Pruitt every day can die just a little bit more so that I can have just a little more of God and victory in my life. Amen? The Bible says in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith. See, I can't live your faith walk. Jesus even can't. He's done it. He's already went. He's not going to come back and walk it out for you. But he says in Matthew 9, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Isn't it awesome that you can set the bar today? You can set your own bar. If your faith level this morning, and listen, and I don't say this condemning, is this length, if this is this far, then you know what? That's where God will meet you, and God bless you. You ever did that dance? What's that dance called? The limbo? You know what I'm saying? And we all want to set the bar here. Because when you're going under the bar, it's a lot easier, isn't it? With a higher bar level. But when that bar is set low, when your faith level's down here, and this is the bar level, you try to limbo under that, you'll be lucky to crawl. So set your bar high this year. So that when you're limboing through the life of God, so to speak, listen to me, it's the higher you set your level, the higher the bar set, the easier it is to overcome. Isn't that good? Thank you, Jesus. So there's a favorite verse in the Bible. That's a favorite verse of mine. So what are you expecting out of your life? You know, the Bible says this, that the law of God is established. It's called the law of expectation. Did you wake up this morning with expectation that your future is bright today? Or did you wake up thinking, you know, I'm just going to live my life today and just eke my way through? Expectation is the greatest thing. Be like a child at Christmas the day before. You know, we wake up in the morning. Christmas is so exciting. Y'all remember the day when you were a kid and you just knew you was going to get something under that Christmas tree. Your expectation was so exciting you could hardly sleep. Well, that's the way it is with the promises of God. Wake up every day with great expectation. The bottom line is the fact is we need to expect great things out of our life. We need to expect and to see. You know, faith is always the things, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can I challenge you today to set your bar so high that you're going to be able to see it by faith? You know, what you hear, you expect to hear, you've got to challenge yourself every day. You know, it's like going to work out, which I haven't done for several years. But I remember this the day I was in the gym. You know, they say every day you have to trick your muscles For like a sets of things, because if you do the same thing the same way, what happens is there's no challenge to your muscles, so you're not going to see an improvement. Matter of fact, it could be like nothing's happening. Everything's effort. You put all that effort in working out only to know that your muscles figured it all out. Well, that's the way the challenge is in the spiritual realm. If maybe you have victory today for something you're doing and it's good, but the next thing's going to come along, it's going to challenge your faith even more. And if you try to use those same muscles you always did for that smaller problem, you're not going to get through. You're not going to exercise your faith. You know, this is the law of faith. God says this. God says you get to choose because according to your faith it has been done unto you. 1 Peter 1:7 says this, when we go through the storms, our faith is strengthened. This is 101. Three things to do when you find yourself in a storm, quickly. One, refuse to be discouraged. You have a choice. I refuse to be discouraged. I'm going to see something good out of this situation. Colossians 1:11 says this, God will strengthen you with His own great power, so that you will not give up when the troubles come. You can choose to be discouraged or you can refuse to be discouraged. I like that. That's in the NCV. Number two, remember that Jesus is in your boat. Right now in your situation, Isaiah 43:2 says this, when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Isn't that exciting? God has promised that to you and me. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. Say, God is a good God. Do you really believe that? Do you really know this morning that God is for you and not against you? I'm hoping you do. Number three, reach out to Jesus in faith. When the disciples found themselves in the storm, they went to Jesus. What is faith? Faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. The dictionary says this about the word confident. It means sure, positive, convinced, secure in, and no doubt. You got to get out of the no doubt syndrome. Stop doubting what God's word says. Say to yourself every morning, I am a liar. Do you know every one of us in this room is a liar? Oh, well, that's not very positive, but it's scripture. God says, let all men be a liar, but let me be true. You are a liar. I am a liar. Every time I come into convictions with my own dilemma, I become a liar. Every time I say I'm going to connect my faith to my negative emotions, God says, you are a liar. You may be my daughter, but you are a liar. But let me be true. Hang on to my word. Hang on to what my word. Come into the power agreement. If you can't say something nice about yourself, say, quote my word. Let me say something nice about you. Because I've redeemed you from the curse. I set your feet on high places today. I've given you power and authority. I give him my son, not just as a gift for you to have eternal life, but I've given you power, resurrectional power today through my son Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hebrews 11:1 says it's just simply trusting God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6 says this, faith is more than just believing that God exists. It relies on his goodness. When Jesus rebuked the wind, here's what he said, peace, be still. Isn't that exciting? And I'm going to just, what time am I on? I have no... Five or ten more minutes? Okay. Okay, here's the statement. Here was their statement. Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obeyed him? Think about that. Do you want to fall in that category? Who can this be when he lives in you today? Think about this. Right now, we live in a different covenant. When we get saved, Jesus says you are no longer your own. We are the temple. We host on the inside of us God Almighty. You are not of your own. He resides in you. So we don't want to fall in that same category. Amen? Amen. So how do we strengthen our faith quickly in the next minute? Romans 10:17 says this, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I'm going to go one step further in James. James says this, are you just a hearer or are you a doer? See, you can hear and hear and hear and hear and hear, but if you don't practice it, you're just a doer. I'm just a doer. You know, I looked this up. Do you realize that the word hearing is referred to 1,230 times in the Bible? Wow. God wants us to be a good listener, doesn't He? I know He tells me you talk too much. On every report card I ever had, Gloria is a good little girl, but you know what her problem is? She just talks too much. She's not a good listener. And that's, you know, Jesus, I said one time, I swear He runs around heaven with saying, "Help me, Father, from get away from this woman. She talks too much." But the truth of the matter is we all need to be better listeners. Because when we hear and we have that still small voice speak to our hearts, it can change us in a second. Of years and years of the way it once was in your life can be changed. Isn't that exciting? God's will is that people hear His word at their home, at their schools, in their churches, in their car, wherever they may be. Jesus prayed this in John 11, 41, 42. So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and He says, "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me." You see, God loves it when He's being heard. And Jesus had a corner on that. "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me." What are you praying today? Can you be confident in yourself and trust in yourself enough to say like our Jesus did, "Father, I thank You that You heard Me." And listen to this. "I thank You that You have heard Me. In 42 it says, I knew that You always hear Me. But I said this for the benefit, are you ready for this, of people standing around here that they may believe that You sent Me." You know, He never had a problem with knowing that His Father heard Him. You say, "Oh, but that was His Son." Yeah, Jesus was His Son. But when He died, He came down through the virgin birth. He walked on the earth as a man, yet He was God. But everything He did by faith. He didn't do it because He had the power. Matter of fact, when He could have called down 10 legions of angels, you know, He said, "I'm not going to do that." See, He had the power to do that, but He limited His supernatural powers to the manly sense. Because He wanted to what? He wanted to be a proof that we all could do it. We can follow our Lord. This people who witnessed this event needed to hear the connection between Him and His Father. We need to understand the connection. I want to challenge you again. Take up this in closing. Listen to preaching tapes. Get the CDs that stand out in your mind and heart. Listen to good preaching on TV. Read good Spirit-filled Christian books. Never forget, the more word that gets into your heart, the more your faith is going to grow. Why? Because the more you learn about the promises of God, the more you're going to know that you're a champion. Listen to this quote by Joe Frazier. It says this: "Champions do not become champions in the ring. Okay? They are merely recognized in the ring. Their beginning happens in their daily routine. You can map out a fight," he says, "a plan of life or a plan, but when the action starts, you're down to the reflexes. That's where your road work begins. If you cheated on that in the dark of the morning, you're going to be found out now under the bright lights." See, we're in the ring. We're in the ring of life. We are in an arena this morning as believers. And God has equipped us to be the soldiers and the fighters that we need to be. I think of Paul in closing. I'm really closing this time. I know you all don't believe that. But I think of Paul when he says, "I feel like one boxing my own shadow." Are you boxing your shadow today? Because if you are, you're going nowhere. But you're going to have to get out of the ring and go do the battle in the early morning of reading your word and praying and confessing what you want. And when the enemy comes in the midnight hour to steal your hopes, your dreams, and your vision of 2009, listen to me, you can give it back to him. The only way that you can is through your words of saying, "You know what, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it." Romans 4:20-21 says this: "He did not waver," there's talking about Abraham, "at the promises of God through unbelief. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he had the promise and he was going to perform it." You, this morning, we need to take up the words of Abraham. We need to have that kind of faith that when God said to him, "You're going to have children like the sand of the sea," but yet he was an old man. But the Bible says he staggered not at the promises. Are you ready to stop staggering and wavering at the promises of God today? Are you ready to you know what, say enough is enough? I've chased my tail in a circle so long, I'm just worn out. Because in order to do mighty great things for God and for yourself and to bring the joy back to the once that was stolen away from you, you're going to have to know who you are. And you're going to have the conquering faith. And you know, the greatest joy that I experienced of knowing who I was, and I believe looking around and I get a pretty good idea of who's saved and who's not. I believe every one of you are saved. But the bottom of the line is this. In 1974, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And, you know, my life changed. I got so hungry for God. I was reading His Word upside down and backwards and misunderstanding it. I was just like this new kid on the block, and I was just so hungry for God. Let this year of 2009 challenge you to have that childlike faith. Go back to where you found the Lord. Go back to that first love principle when you just woke up and all you was excited about was reading and praying and letting Him dote on you. Listen, He's not changed. We have. So let's go back to that childlike faith. Can we do that? Can you stand to your feet this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.